go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 52 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. B-Man, I am not a strip club guy, nor have I ever been, and I don't envision myself ever becoming one in the near future or the far future. I bring up the topic of strip clubs not because I've been going to them. I think in my lifetime, I've maybe been at a nudie bar, titty joint, maybe 10 times, maybe a dozen total, and none of those were alone. They were always either in a group of friends or on a date. Yes, I've brought a couple of babes to dates to strip clubs. Great place to bring them. Very entertaining. I bring this up, though, because I spent a lot of time on the internet looking for B-roll footage for those reels, shorts I make, and I have found myself pulling a lot of pole dancing videos that are taken in actual strip clubs. And I'm enjoying watching pole dancing on the internet, whether it be from a YouTube or sexyporn.com or any other site I can find them on the internet. I find them to be, they're relaxing, they're soothing, therapeutic. I'm kind of, if I watch a 7-minute pole dance, and let's say it's two songs, three to four ladies, maybe even a tandem on the pole, it's becoming my meditation. People who talk about meditations say it's all about breathing, and everyone kind of, they do their meditation differently. And I am definitely outside the box. I've never been a meditator. My mind races too much. But these pole dances, they relax me. I feel my heartbeat decreases, and I also enjoy the visuals because I do like night settings with the neon lighting, and you can't really see the lady. And sometimes with the bills being thrown from the Johns, it's a fun visual. One thing I have noticed, and why I'm bringing it up, Brian. Finally, get to the point, B-Man. Get to the point. I bring this all up because I was watching this video this past weekend. And it was a strip club, I won't say the name, because I don't know what the name of the club is, but it was two floors. And the middle of the club was open, like there was no ceiling. So the pole went from the first floor all the way through the second floor. So there was a balcony where you could see the pole. And there were these dancers who were going all the way up, like using their thighs and their forearms and their hands to get all the way up. So at that point, when they're near the top of the pole, they're probably 15 to 25 feet off the ground. And as an observer from a distance, and I don't know, maybe it's just me getting a bit older and appreciating the fragility of life. I'm looking at these babes, these strippers, these sex workers that are on this pole, to holding on to it with their thighs, no hands, 20 feet up. And all I'm thinking to myself is these babes should be having bike helmets on when they do this, because it is dangerous up there. And if they fall, they could crack their head, break their neck. I would like to see these women wear bike helmets going forward. I don't know if I need to call my local legislator and try to get something on the books so that Congress can make a law, because it's very unsafe climbing up and down these poles, stripper after stripper, and then they clean it down with the Lysol, so maybe it's a little bit slippery. I'm concerned about the stripper's safety. That's why I bring this all up. I just don't want to see any unnecessary injuries that might be long-lasting or even a career-ending injuries. The last thing I would want to see happen is have a babe fall off the pole and have to hang up her stilettos because of an injuries, head injury, caused through slippage on the pole. That was a bit of a weird opening. Yeah, the B-Man. Also, I have been, I probably like most of you, I can guess, I do track my ex-lovers on the internet, whether it be through Facebook, Instagram, all the social media sites. Not often, but every once in a while, I like to check in, see what's going on in their life. And most of them are doing very, very well. And I believe that's because I've always been attracted to career-oriented women. So all the babes I have been in relationships or, in reality, short-term flings with, because I am not a relationship guy. So whenever I get into a relationship, I almost feel bad for the lady because I know this isn't going to last more than a few months because of my own issues. But these ladies, they all end up with nice guys after me because, like I said, these women are highly educated. They're very good with their careers. They're not fuck-ups. So they end up, you know, they don't end up dating guys who are going to physically, mentally abuse them. They end up with great guys. But these guys they end up with and that I see through social media, they're all sugar cookies. Yeah, they're safe. You eat them. But you're not bragging about them to anybody. And that's why I have sympathy for all these women. And I will say this not to be arrogant. It's just, it's the truth. Babes who fall for me quickly. Usually within the first couple of weeks, those first few dates, I could tell instantly that they want to profess their love for the B-Man. I much appreciate it. I take my time because of my own internal struggles. But what I'm trying to get at here is I am a unique individual. I am a weirdo. I am a one of a kind in baseball card worlds. I am a one of one card. So if you fall in love with me, it's tough to move on for me and fall in love with another guy and have the connection be as romantic, as palpable as the one she had with me for our short-term relationship. And I know in her heart of hearts, she may be happy with her current man or men after me, but she'll never have the flutter. She'll never have the giddiness of when she was with me. Whoa, that makes me sound super arrogant, super assholey. But I to my core, I really do believe what I'm saying. And once you, because I'm a weirdo. Like I my pillow game is different than anybody else's. I love the spoon, but I like to do the opposite. I like to play with your lips and make like a production out of it. I nickname them. I flick them. When we're in public, I'll dance with you in public in a spur of a moment without you knowing what's happening. Before you know it, I'm twirling you. I'm dipping you. I'm serenading you. I'm a romantic. Underneath all this curmudgeon-y, there is a romantic that certain babes can bring out of me, and not many do because I do not have... I find that I do not connect with most people. Most of the time, I will stand around a group, make a few comments, and then try to leave because I don't know what else to input to the conversation. These women, though, that they fall for me so quickly, head over heels. And it's just, their life is never going to be as vibrant as that period they have with me. And because of that, I have empathy for them because these new guys that they're with, yeah, they have families and they get married. But again, these guys are sugar cookies. And a B-Man, I am anything but sugar. I am. You got to dig deep in earth and find what I bring to you. And it's not diamonds. It's hard to grasp what I have, what I bring to the table. But I bring it. And all these new men that they put their arms around, do not bring it. But hey, life, you got to move on. And we're going to move on now and talk about something I found on Reddit. This one comes from the subreddit NoFap. Be honest. Be honest. Do you lie to yourself? I was walking home when a bus stopped ahead of me and two hot girls got off. It's summer. They were dressed for the sun and looked amazing. There you go. In the past, I felt it was my lucky day walking behind those two. This time, after a second glance, I quickly turned down another street to take a different route home. I'm only looking. That's okay, right? Wrong. I know why I wanted to look. I wanted to imprint them in my brain and fantasize about them later. Is that healthy? Will it help me beat this addiction? No. That split-second decision taught me a valuable lesson as to why I have repeatedly failed to get a grip on my urges. I've been lying to myself. I can't go without Instagram, but the hot girls on there keep triggering me. Wrong. You won't go without it, not can't. So many times I've lied to myself, and I've made excuses as to why I keep failing, trying to blame someone or something else, always externalizing the problem. It's all bullshit. This is my addiction. It's my hand doing the deed at the end of it all. The porn industry doesn't have a gun to my head. I'm not lying to myself anymore. I really can beat this. Well, I'm pulling for you, and that is pun intended. I'm being honest, you got me fired up. I want to run through a wall with you and join the priesthood. You should be making Nike commercials for the Olympics. You are an inspiration. There are so many people in this country. This country is infested with victim mentality. Oh, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too lengthy, I'm too heavyset, I'm too black, I'm too white. I grew up in a poor neighborhood. I have nepotism. I have no focus in life. Fuck that. It's not the porn industry. It's not the IG miles. It's you. Like you said, you're the one wanking yourself off. It's your fault. You're the one doing it. As they say, it's not guns that kill people. It's people that kill people. Is that how it goes? I'm not trying to get political here, but hey, you got me inspired. I love your state of mind. I'm kind of there with you. I wouldn't say I have an addiction to winking myself off. Maybe in my younger days I did. I probably wink myself off 3 to 4 times a week. I actually want to get on TRT so I get more horny and want to wink myself off more. We'll talk about that in another episode, though. This episode is about you. And this is a real addiction that I think people scoff at, they might laugh at you at, but sex addiction is a real addiction. What doesn't get talked about, though, is the Johns, the people like you and I who have a sex addiction but don't have access to sex, whether that be because of their appearance or their looks or their health or their overall demeanor, they just cannot attract the opposite sex or the same sex to have sex. So what you have to do, if you're in that category as a sex addict without having the ability to get sex, you need to rely on winking yourself off with your dominant hand. And people, if I had to say a comparison, it's somewhat similar to a cocaine versus coke. Like a guy with sex addiction who just loves to have sex, it's all he thinks about. And he can get the sex, that's cocaine. We glorify that. We make movies about that. But you, the guy who has to be in his own bedroom wanking himself off because he can't get a real person to do the sex with, that's crack. Nobody wants to be addicted to crack. Nobody wants to make eye contact with you when they're on the bus next to you, when you're getting off, they're going on. When you're walking down the street, no, people cross the street because there's a crack addict there. Same with you, with winking it off and having an addiction to that. To your question of, is taking a snapshot of a visual you see in public and then using that image later on, thinking of that image while you wank yourself off, is that Is that rude? I think it's the opposite. I've always been under the belief that that is a gentlemanly behavior, that those who lived in the Victorian era would approve of us for behaving in such a manner. I'll give you an example. I was at, because I'm right there with you, I do take snapshots in the wild and then put that in the spank bank and use it later when I'm doing the business and when the B-man is getting that goo out of his Mr. Perfect, his wiener. I did a comedy show at Spare Time in Berlin. It was a bowling alley. It was one of those combination bowling alleys where you had the bowling alleys, there was a bar attached, and then there was also an arcade. So a lot of divorced dads who, it was a perfect place to bring your kids because you could get drunk while they were at the arcade. But the bar was great. It had an actual stage. We were doing a show there. And I went there expecting to do comedy, have a couple drinks, and go home. I caught myself, though, like looking through the door at the bowling alleys, and there was a group of babes, mid-20s, and they were all wearing tight jeans, and they were bowling, and I found myself getting aroused to them bowling. It's something about them walking a few steps, bending over, throwing the ball. There was something sexual about that to me, and I wasn't expecting that going in, so I was the dopamine rush was even more of a rush. And I didn't do anything there. I didn't do anything there because I am not a creep. But what I did do is I took a snapshot of these babes bowling. And when I went home that night, you bet your ass, I jerked off to the image of those babes bowling in my head. And I had a great, great ejaculation because of it. I will also tell you that I don't have a lot of sex. So when the B-man is getting the sex, a lot of times, like I'll try to force myself to have an outer body experience. And what I mean by that is while I'm having sex, I like to almost like Zach Morris in Saved by the Bell, I almost like to go time out to myself and kind of look at what is happening right there in front of me. So that like years from now, I can remember this moment, this getting the sex moment, and have that image embroidered in my brain so that I can jerk off to it for the rest of my life. And almost every time I've had sex with a new person, like that's what I'll do. I'll be like, whoa. I know this is fun, but let's back up. Let's appreciate what's happening so that my subconscious can remember this because I don't get it that often. So no, I disagree with you. I do think it is okay to take Snapchats, still images of something you see in the wild to use later on to violate yourself. I do believe that is gentlemanly behavior that makes you an upstanding citizen. And yes, any gentleman living in a Victorian era would approve of you for doing so. I know you got the addiction bad. I know you have the addiction bad because you viewed two babes on the bus as hotties. And from my experience, attractive women do not go on the bus. Once you hit a certain level of beauty, you get to bypass public transit. You leave that to the gremlins and trolls among us like me. So if you're viewing women on the bus as hot, you got the addiction bad. You're in the top, you're the top 5th percentile. Oh, you got it bad. You're getting off the bus. You're having to go down alleys. You're having to hide your periphery vision with your hoodie. I don't think people understand or appreciate what you're going through. And I do, as somewhat of a pervy guy, I understand, with alcoholics, to make another comparison, there's alcohol everywhere, but it's stagnant. It's brick and mortar. You have the liquor store. You have your bars. You have your restaurants. You have your cafes. Alcoholics can go on Google Maps, find where the alcohol is, and find new routes to avoid that. But hot babes in the wild walking around, they're constantly moving. They're like a wave in the Pacific Ocean. It's constant movement. You can't pinpoint them. There's no Waze. They're there, and you got to have the willpower to, you know, put just look straight, not ogle, and dip in and out of side roads to avoid them, which is impossible. So I do sympathize with you, much like I do my ex-lovers. But I'm behind you. You know, I want you to know that all of us weirdos here on the internet, like there are a lot of us, and you are you express your thoughts. You put pen to paper. You wrote a post on Reddit expressing the struggles you're having, and that shows a lot of balls. You're very brave to do so. That's why all of us weirdos on the internet who also have this, I want you to know that you're not alone. We're beside you. No, nay. Actually, since you put it in writing and you motivated us all, we're behind you because you are our leader. You are showing us the way to salvation. As they said in those religious texts, lead us not from temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are your disciples. I'm feeling it inside myself that I need to be more forthright with all of you and explain why it is I am not a strip club guy. Number one reason is I'm cheap. I'm frugal as they come. I'm not the type of guy who's going to walk in with a stack of tens or fives and make it rain in Atlanta. That's not my way. I'm the type of guy, I'm the second row of the strip club. I'm not the first row by the stage. I'm the second row, and I will occasionally put $1 on the edge of the stage while the lady walks by, while that whore, that stripper, that skank, that hood rat walks by. She politely takes a one, puts it in the G-string. I do that periodically throughout the night. I spend maybe a total of $40 on the strippers, and then you know, everything else is goes towards drinks and the fee to get in to the club. Secondly, how do I explain this? I'm not able to get into that make-believe world. I'm a bit too much of a realist in that regard. It's weird because with wrestling, I can completely be in on a joke. With stand-up comedy, there is a little bit of that. Like when you go to a comedy club or to a comedy show, there is that little bit like, hey, like for this to be funny, we got to be in on the joke, and this is going to be a little absurd, and we're going to push boundaries. And if you go into a show with that state of mind, that you will laugh and have a good time. At strip clubs, it's almost I view it as the polar opposite of corporate America. Like in corporate America, it's all bullshit, and I've spoken many times about this on Verbal Graffiti, how I despise just the corporate lingo, the language you have to use when you're talking to colleagues and emails you send, and you have to be very professional because you have to worry about, because there's that halo over you of the HR department that can strike at any moment if you say something off color. With the strip clubs, it's almost the opposite, where it's just nasty talk, it's fake love, and everything in me just wants to call this out. Goes, this is complete bullshit. I know you want me for the money. You don't really think I'm attractive. This conversation we're having, it's being done under false pretenses. And I get too in my head about it. So I'm just not able to enter the strip club in the right state of mind you need to be in to enjoy the experience. Those are the big two reasons why. Other reasons are, I'm an observer. That's who I am. So I'll be observing strippers, and I'll be thinking about, well, how did they end up on that pole? Like what was their life journey to get there? Were they molested? Did they have a terrible father? Are they just exhibitionists? And then I'll look at the people in the audience and like, wow, that guy's a regular. Like what's his life? Like what does he do for a living where he can throw fives and tens and $20 bills on stage and get lap dances? And then there's like the madam lady who walks around. Like, how the fuck do you get in that position? And it's just, I find myself whenever I'm at a strip club, it has nothing to do with eroticism. It's just I'm just in my head asking a lot of questions to myself, trying to put together the puzzle. And I just don't go enough often enough to be able to put that puzzle together. Enough with strip clubs. I'm sure we'll bring it up in future episodes, but I had to get those reasoning out. It was inside of me. I'm just trying to talk it out why I'm, because to my core, I should be a titty bar guy, but nope, I'm not. I do love the signage outside, though, the neon lights, the whatever the club's name. I always do find those amusing. Let's move on. I found, this is really a, what do they call that? And not suitable for work. So NSFW type episode. Because you'll see why. This one I found on the subreddit, erectile dysfunction. Yes, B-man, learn how to read. 21 couldn't get it up. Who hasn't been there? Hello, guys. I am a 21 virgin till 1 hour ago when I made the decision to go to a prostitute. A very expensive and good-looking one at that. Yes. I have never done anything more than kissing before, and that was 5 years ago, so that's when you were 16. I masturbate pretty much every day, and while I sometimes take a long time to finish, I have never had trouble keeping an erection. But today, I couldn't keep it at all and didn't finish. I got an erection, not a full one like I usually do, but enough. From the BJ initially, but when we tried to have sex, I lost it. After a while, I couldn't get it hard at all. Oh no. I don't think I have ever felt worse emotionally in my life. I immediately got an appointment for a urologist next week. The prostitute told me I can't do sex and next time I should try getting drunk. I feel like my life has no meaning now. Do I also make an appointment with a psychotherapist? Am I gay? Question mark. No, you are not gay. Let me repeat, you are not gay. Everything you're doing, everything you wrote in that post tells all of us that you are as heterosexual a 21-year-old as there is in the United States. So as a 21-year-old still virgin, because I believe you are still a virgin, take a knee and listen up to someone who's been in your situation. Now, to my credit, patting myself on the back, I've never had trouble getting an erection, so I'm not there with you, but I have been that guy. I was a late bloomer, I guess. I was 20 years old when I lost my virginity. My first kiss, I might have been, 17, 18, 19 years old. So that was after you did. So, hey, man, I've been there already. You are as straight as they come. You're death gripping it every day to the smut you find on the internet. You have no problems with the getting erections there. But as you found out, it's a lot different when you're in the privacy of your own bathroom stall at Walmart to when you're with a live person who's willing to have sex with you for a very high price. That's what you need to take solace in. Hey, it's different. It's why I never criticize or joke about anybody who goes into combat and gets in a fetal position and starts yelling out for their mommy, because I've never been there. So I'm never going to criticize somebody for being afraid when there are bullets flying. And again, for you who have never had sex, I'm not going to criticize you. I'm not going to laugh at you. I'm not going to have sympathy for you either. We're here at Verbal Graffiti to help you get through this. Now, I suggest you cancel all your appointments. The appointment you made with your urologist, do not make an appointment with a psychotherapist. Do not be asking your pediatrician to have prescription to Cialis or some dick pill. Do not be going to a gas station to get some dick rising medication. You're way too young. If you get on those pills at such a young age, when you're oozing with testosterone, you don't need supplements to have more. In that regard, I am jealous of you. What you need to do is listen to your stripper. Now, while you didn't get the sex with her, she gave you She gave you sound advice, so it was money well spent, the money you spent on her. She said, get drunk next time. I agree with that. Now, there's a balance. There is a balance. You have a few drinks, you'll lose your inhibitions, so you won't be so in your head about, wow, like I'm about to lose my virginity. That will help you. But be careful, because if you have too many drinks, you might get whiskey dick, and then that's a whole nother ball game. You won't be able to get your dick hard, and then you'll be worried for the rest of your life about drinking and sex. And sex is best done when you're drinking, so you don't want that all up in your head, like fucking you up. I also say I want you to lose your virginity to a prostitute. Better, because I say this because you're going to fall in love with the first person you have sex with, and better to fall in love with a prostitute who you'll lose contact with her and you'll fall out of love with her within time. Better to fall in love with the prostitute than the hood rat on your dorm floor who just strings you along for three semesters and leaves you in therapy for the next decade. So yeah, I want you to have sex with a prostitute, maybe even the same prostitute. So yeah, before you go see her, don't jerk off for 3 days. You just want to fill your body with that devil's juice so that you're almost shaking, like you have a caffeine high and you've been drinking too much coffee and you just need to get it out of you. So, because at that such a young age, you're overflowing with semen and goo and testosterone that you're waking up with morning wood. It needs to come out of you. So if you just chill with the wanking for a few days before you go see this prostitute again, your body, I believe your body will more likely function, and you'll be able to see the head of your penis. He'll be looking up at you like, let's go. Third, I want you, before you go see this prostitute again, I want you to, as I've been mentioning a lot this episode, I want you to go to some strip clubs. Why I say this is because I want you to get acclimated being around naked hood rats. I want you to spend a few hours around these women, so you're not shell shocked being around a naked lady. And I want you to get a few lap dances. And what I want you to do when you're getting a lap dance is get an erection while you're having a lap dance. Don't really think of it. Just, you know, again, have a little bit of a buzz. Get a few lap dances, and once you're able to maintain an erection while that hood rat skank stripper, trying to make money for her child while she's got her titties up in your face and she's grinding on your package area. If when you're able to keep an erection for that one song, that's preseason. Like you passed preseason, now you're ready to go to the prostitute. So do those three things. You got to have a few drinks before you get the prostitute. You have to not have jerked off a few days before you get this prostitute. And before you even get into the zone, spend a month going to strip clubs, getting acclimated to the hood rats with their tits out for us Johns. And I just want to tell one story just to make you feel better about yourself. First of all, before I get to the story, let me just say there are so many guys out there who lose their virginity, 3 pumps, less than a minute, and the baby they're with is like, that is it. And it ruins their ego for the rest of your life. So at least you're not them. And many men are them. So in that regard, hey, you won. But what I want to get to here is my virginity story is when I had sex, I was 20. I'd come back from a dorm party. Sorry, a frat party. I wasn't in a frat, but I was at the frat party. We were both drinking. We got naked. We had sex. I didn't have any problems like getting an erection. I did have problems finding the hole. I didn't realize the vagina hole was as like low and deep between the legs as it is, and the babe would not assist me putting it in even after I asked. So I had to poke around to find it. And once I got in, like, I didn't come. Like, we had sex for like I was drunk, but maybe at least a half hour, and I didn't come, I didn't bust, I didn't nut. So like when we were sleeping, like I was awake, I'm like, well, does that count? Does that count as real sex? Because if I don't come, like even though we had sex for a half hour, is that real sex? So at some point in the night, just by magic, I pulled in her purse. There was another condom there. She kind of woke up. We had sex again. Three pumps. I cummed in the condom. The last time I've ever cummed in a condom and real sex. So I lost my virginity at 20. Good there, B-man. So hey, nobody has a good virginity story. So don't get down on yourself. Hey, you're a real American. You're as straight heterosexual as they come. I'm sure you end every sentence with your boys with the term no homo. What else? There's something else about virginity I wanted to tell you about that might help you lose it in the future. If it comes to me, I'll bring it up in future episodes. So if you're watching this 21-year-old virgin, continue to watch episodes coming forward. So maybe I'll be able to help you out a little bit more because I'm pulling for you. We're all pulling for you here at Verbal Graffiti. We want you to lose your virginity and we want you to do it quickly. And 21 is a perfect age. If you get to 21, you haven't lost a V card. That's when it's time to seek out a professional and do it with her. 25 is an absolute cutoff if you're not waiting till marriage or you're super religious. If you get to 25, it is a mandatory that you go to a hooker, a whore, a prostitute, a sex worker, and lose it with her. But 21 is a perfectly reasonable age for you to seek out the services of a professional. So good for you. You're being active. You're not wallowing in your virginity. You're going out and you're trying to get it. And all of us here at Verbal Graffiti are rooting for you. We want to hear back from you about your experience. Hopefully this time you're able to keep your willy hard. You'll do the business. And we'll throw a pizza party for you here at Verbal Graffiti. Till next episode, go suck a fat one.